Hello, welcome to the Cosmic Eye Show. It is Sunday. I am Jason Napolitano, and Mr. Chris Sheridan is on the line. How are you, sir?
Doing great today. It's another Sunday, and another day without sun. We've had so many fires down here that the sky has been this perpetual twilight. So, for like five days.
I'm telling you.
So, yeah, it's Sunday, but sun is sort of...
But sun is lacking. Okay, yeah. Sun is lacking on this Sunday, but... You did have some good news earlier when I talked to you and said that you guys are most likely out of harm's way of the fire.
We are. The fire's passed.
That's good to hear.
Fairly well contained and, can breathe again, even though it's still difficult to breathe because of the actual air quality. But
psychologically.
Emotionally, yes, I can.
All right.
I can exhale. I'm not holding my breath, basically. I don't know if I want to suck in this air, but
yeah,
I can definitely let out.
Don't take too deep of a breath, but you can let it out. So for all of those, all of you who are still, in or near those fires, we're sending out prayers and blessings to you. Hope everyone's doing okay out there. I mean, these things are in Oregon and Washington and all over California. So, we're praying for everybody. The animals, the birds, the trees, all of us, everything. So, right, and on that note, we are going to have a nice positive show with some Reverend Ike. We haven't done any Reverend Ike in a while. We're going back to his book, Health, Joy, and Prosperity for You, Science of Living Study Guide by Reverend Ike. And you can find that on Amazon, and I highly recommend that. And also watching his videos on YouTube, he is incredibly positive and entertaining. At the same time.
Yeah, a little update or a little reminder on who he is.
Yeah.
Since we haven't done one.
Right? I will give a little update. He was quite popular up until the 90s. His heyday was really in the late 70s and early 80s. An African-American preacher based he was on the edge of Harlem. His church was there, right? And then he ended up moving out to the West Coast, and he was, I think, in Los Angeles towards the end of his life, if I'm not mistaken. So he was doing more in the kind of new thought world there, but definitely a unique preacher in that he has a very kind of classical preaching style, but he's preaching new thought instead, so he was very revolutionary, and a lot of people didn't know what to make of him, and he caught a lot of flack, and he was very controversial and quite flamboyant and in terms of his style of dressing and his kind of outlook on money. And he had like something like 13 Rolls Royces or something like that, and really outspoken about that side of things. But I think he was one of these misunderstood people, because in his messages, if you get past the prosperity stuff, which is good material, I'm not knocking it, but there's a lot of depth to it that I don't think a lot of people really understood, and he was one of the early, one of the early preachers who was talking about the God in you and Christ in you and some of these ideas amongst congregations that were probably not used to those messages. So really ahead of his time in a lot of ways. And if you'll notice on YouTube, you see a lot of those comments on his videos, like this man was like 50 years ahead of his time and blah, 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 and this kind of stuff. So, and he's really resonating with a lot of young people now. A fantastic preacher though. I cannot give this guy enough praise, and a trailblazer. So check him out. We're going to look at a section called Four Steps to Get What You Want. So, again, that kind of sets up a sort of, prosperity thought process. But really, and he points out in this section as well, that you can use this methodology to get, anything you want. If it's peace of mind, if it's, you want to start a nonprofit, if it's you want to buy a horse and live out in the country. I mean, it really could be any of these kinds of things. Or you want to, save the bees. For example, you want to start a business, you want to make some money, you need to get out of debt. You can also use it for that. And so that's the interesting thing about this stuff. And that's, sometimes new thought and, mind science and law of attraction and so on are critiqued and criticized because they do focus so much on the prosperity side of it. But that's, really, it's like criticizing a hammer for being a hammer. A hammer is a very useful tool, you know, but you can use it for a lot of different things. You can crack somebody over the head with it, or you can, you know, build a house with it, or you can, you know, build a prison with it, you know? So it's like, you know, it's not the hammer's fault. So these laws or principles are kind of like tools. What you plug into them and how you use them is up to you. And that's where we're going to talk quite a bit about that in this section, in the first section of this, which I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that it's important to think about. So you can utilize this tool to manifest whatever you want is basically what I'm trying to get at. It could be health. Exactly.
It could be peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
It could be spiritual healing in a relationship with a loved one.
Relationship, indeed.
You know, this having and getting what you want. How about a more spiritual life? How about, you know, a life of service? I mean, mm-hmm. It could be as altruistic or as selfish, you know, in a way as you want. The principles are the same.
Mm-hmm.
But I like this, and, you know, we've all heard so many versions of, you know, if you believe it, you can achieve it.
Sure.
You know, if you can see it, you know, you can believe it. If you can believe it, you can have it. So many ways and so many times we've seen it, and they kind of get mushy, a little interchangeable. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm visualizing this, but is it an image? Or am I visualizing, you know, the smell? Is it, you know, do I believe it? Do I, you know... They kind of run into each other a little bit. And I like the way he lays this out, that there are four distinct steps and they are to be taken in this particular order.
Yeah.
So as we get into it, we'll uncover what those are. But I think that kind of separates this a little bit out from
some of the mushier
some other
ideas. Yeah.
Just believe it as a man thinketh. And there you go. It's like, well, great. Well, I'm not saying this don't work, but this
this is very clear, isn't it? Systematic.
Exactly. And sometimes that's what we need. We need a little bit of a system or a mm-hmm. template or a guide, a guidebook, a workbook, not just a bunch of ideas. We need something. Okay. What do I want today? How to fill in field number three.
Yeah.
You know, to really work through this.
Sure.
Because again, it's, you know, we can talk about all kinds of stuff, but, you know, there's a very practical aim to all this. And that's that scientific part of the new thought or of mind science, is that if you try it and it works and somebody else tries it and it works for them, then that's scientific proof in its working.
Yeah, exactly. It's that there's a principle or a law at work, because it's, you know, like Ernest Holmes used to say, the law is a respecter of no man, you know, and I thought that was an interesting way to put it. It's like, it doesn't matter, you know, who, like in the same way, like as anybody can plant a seed in the ground, it doesn't mean if you're a sinner or a saint, you know, a carrot's going to come up if you plant a carrot. You know what I mean? A cucumber is going to come up if you plant a cucumber. It doesn't matter who the person is operating on the law. And, you know, that's the way New Thought looks at thinking about things and using these particular principles to create an out picture, as they would say, the purposes and goals that you have within. So let's get into this. Four steps to get what you want. Let's start with the beginning of this. So he has a quote from the Bible, which I love. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Proverbs 29:18. And then he starts this with the science of living principle. You have within you the infinite power of God to bring into existence whatever good you want to be, to do, and to have. That was one of his kind of catchphrases, to good you want to be, to do, and to have. And it really is a nice way of looking at things, because you know, the being part is kind of the psychological part, the emotional content of it, or, you know, the sort of thing you want to be. The doing is the action, and the having is, you know, the results or the sort of, you know, material side of things. So there's a balance there when you look at that being and doing and having. You don't get so caught up just in the material side of it. So the four steps are, we will look at them, and these are in order. And he says you should study and meditate on each of these steps each and every day. So in other words, you want to keep these things in mind each and every day as you're working through them, as you're working through towards your goal and towards what you want. Okay, so number one is decide it. decide it. Number two is believe it. Number three is see it. And number four is feel it. Okay, so you want to read that little section after that on 180 there. Have to decide it. You see where I'm at, or you want to read it? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, all right. Well, decide it. Your decision defines what you want. Believe it. Belief is mental acceptance. Mentally accept it now. See it in your mind. Feel it in your heart. So that's a little bit more of an extrapolation of kind of the, you know, an explanation of what each of these different sections are. So now we're going to go into.
It really makes a distinction, you know, between them, that these are very different things.
Yeah.
All working towards the same goal.
And all they work on different
parts of, you know, of the process.
Yeah. Great point. And so, you know, the first, and in some ways, oftentimes for some people, the most difficult is decided. That's section one. Just basically deciding what it is that you want. And he says, you know, he points this out, a very simple question to ask yourself every day is this one. What do I want? What do I want? And so while you're trying to figure this out, it might be a good thing, he says, to write that down on a piece of paper and put that on your mirror. So that every morning as you're preparing for your day, you can ask yourself, what do I want? And really ask, you know, really ask yourself and really search your heart to figure out that decision. You know, and this is the thing that's so powerful about this. And, you know, I think I've talked about this before, but you and I talked about it before the show. Napoleon Hill in Think and Grow Rich, which is one of the classic kind of, I don't want to call it new thought, but certainly one of the success-oriented self-help books, one of the best-selling ones ever. Napoleon Hill said that, and I can't imagine, you know, this was back in his day when he wrote it, which was in the late 20s, that like 98% of people are walking around and don't know what they want and don't have any kind of a goal. And, you know, I think that if you were to ask most people what it is they want out of life, if you want to test people around you, you know, go ask people around you and see and kind of just do a little study on it yourself. You know, ask 5 or 6 people, you know, what is it you want out of life and see how many people have goals. And very, very few people have goals or know what they want. You know, and it's hard because, you know, because all of the different things that go on in life and some of the pressures that we feel and, you know, our jobs and our families and so on. Sometimes we think all those things are, you know, keeping us from our dreams or our goals. But, you know, most of the time, that is an excuse. We're not deciding what we want to do and we're not, you know, following through with that decision and working on it. So, you know, that decision step is a huge one, right?
Well, it's a commitment.
It's a commitment.
Yeah. And it's a commitment to put one thing above all others. And if you even look at the origin of the word, anything with side, C-I-D-E, like homicide or insecticide or pesticide or this aside or that aside, you're killing something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and, you know, symbolism in, say, the tarot would be like with a sword, you know, where you have to draw a line in the sand. You make the mark, you cut. And on one side, this is what I want. And then you cut the other stuff out. And I think that's so hard for people because we may have many interests.
Mm-hmm.
We may have, and like you were talking about, maybe there's expectations from society or from family.
Sure, sure.
And then there's what we want to do. And but maybe we don't take our soul's longing as seriously. So we don't decide to do that. Well, and then you have kind of a mixed allegiance.
Sure.
You might have 3 or 4. I really want to do this, but, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for that.
Well, yeah.
I should do this because that makes sense. I went to school for it and spent all that money in college, but it doesn't excite me.
Sure.
So I don't want to just, you know, so we can be kind of, you know, really caught in this quagmire of indecision, and that really makes it hard, especially the more skilled or the more interested you are in many different things. what if three or four things are equally?
Yep.
Or you could do a plus minus. Well, there's advantages to this and there's disadvantages to that. And it can be really difficult narrowing that down.
Yeah.
And as a kind of a practical point, you know, I'll speak to people who have that maybe multiple skills or interests or perhaps equally weighted desires on what to do. And this may sound a little generic, but it's also very specific too. Applying your decision, this decided. What you can decide now, and this is something that I do, is that I say, you know, I want to use my knowledge, experience, my skills, and my interests in a way that can help the most amount of people in the best possible way. So that sounds generic, but it's actually very specific. I want to use what I have, what I've learned, what I'm interested in. And I could list out what maybe some of those things are to further clarify.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a decision. That is a, I'm using the best of what I have to share with the world or to share with a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, that still is a specific, that is a clear decision because you're not talking about doing something else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I think too, you know, the decision also might be multi-staged, you know, once you start working in that direction and affirming towards that, you know, that particular goal, then you may, you know, once you start working on different projects to fulfill that, you know, one or two may come to the forefront and get traction. And then you get a little more clarity on that decision. And then you can maybe say something, well, you know, I'm going to focus my attention on this blog and on doing, you know, classes once a week over here. And you know what I'm saying? And it can become more clear as you actually begin to try some of the things out where you're actually taking actions towards achieving that goal, that the kind of feedback that you get from the environment will help you decide that too and further your decision. So that's a good way to look at that. You know, and some people may... go ahead.
Well, and you might find a way of combining some as you list, well, I'm good at A, B, and C,
mm-hmm.
But I don't really want to decide B, if that means I can't do C or mm-hmm. A.
Sure.
But as you're going through this, you might find, well, geez, you know, this is kind of a way I could use both or all three of these skills or interests.
Yeah, that's a great, great
could converge point. In and put it in this area. So just, you know, they may get their play. And again, like you say, you know, there is a primary decision or what you're wanting to do with your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you can still do other stuff on the weekends or in your spare time. It's not, you know, that's the only thing you're ever going to do for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
But you can't be too vague either. And that's why he put decision first.
Yeah.
And it's very, very important because you could add all the visualization and you're feeling it and believing it and praying and doing all your practice on doing this every day, like he said. But if you, but I don't know if I really want to do that or not, or what about this? Or if I do this, I might not be able to do that.
Yeah.
You rip the whole bottom end of the whole thing out. So decide something for now.
And yeah, then, exactly.
Again, like he says, do it every day. And if you say, well, you know, maybe that wasn't the best decision. You can modify it and help clarify it.
Sure.
So it's a process.
Yeah, exactly. And then know the difference between, you know, persistence and, you know, hey, this isn't the right thing for me, you know, because sometimes we're going to go through challenges and we're going to, you know, get tested and we're going to need to just, you know, kind of grit through things and push, you know, push through challenges and difficulties. And then other times it's just like, you know, I'm doing this and I made this decision and I've stuck with it for the last, you know, 3 or 4 years and I made a little bit of progress, but you know, honestly, I'm not really enjoying this. And then kind of going, you know, this decision was good and it got me to this place, but you know, it's time to make a new decision and kind of refine this decision to something else. So, you know, it has a certain amount of weight and power to it and it needs a certain amount of energy, but at the same time, you know, also, you know, have some flexibility with it and make sure that you're you know, you're really enjoying what you're doing, and actually it's actually fulfilling that part of yourself that, you know, it was intended to do. So, we'll move on, but I do want to read a little bit of this. He says, you know, right now, right here and right now, make up your mind about what you want and write it down. You know, if, for example, he said, for the purposes of this lesson, let's say that your goal is to have your own business. Write down what type of business you want and write down the date when you will start your business. Make plans for the grand opening. Decide on the part of town you will have your office in, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, he's getting at the point of making very detailed, very clear decisions and goals for yourself, and having a very clear picture at which to aim, which is going to get us into our next section. So we want to decide at least with as much clarity and focus as we can to begin with. And then we want to move into the second stage, which is believe it. And, you know, he also pointed out in this section that, you know, just to be able to make that decision requires you have to work on your own belief, because you may be thinking, well, I can't do this, or this is too difficult, or, you know, these people are telling me this or that about this thing, you know, and so you've got to have enough even kind of confidence in yourself and faith that you can do the thing, even to make that decision. So all these steps are interrelated. They're separate steps, but they're definitely interrelated, and they're definitely in a specific order for a reason. So we will move on to section two, which is believe it. Do you want to read that first section of believe it? For the listeners.
All right. Belief is mental acceptance. When you believe something, you mentally accept it for yourself. In order to accomplish your goals and achieve your good purposes, you have to mentally accept what you want. Do not be discouraged by those around you who tell you that you cannot accomplish your goals. Full of wonders that people said couldn't be done. So this belief has to, and this is me talking now, this belief has to transcend, you know, maybe what some of the evidence and some of the facts appear to be in front of you. You know, if there's a will, there's a way. And I think that's where this belief gets in. And he goes on in the next paragraph to underscore that belief in yourself.
Yeah.
Doing this thing that you've decided to do.
Sure.
Is really at the core of it. Any one of these steps along the way can kind of undermine the whole thing. But I would say, especially these first two, you know, knowing what it is and then believing in yourself that you can accomplish this.
Exactly. So, as you know, we'll kind of reiterate these steps as we go, just so you can get them in your own mind. So number one step was decide it. Your decision defines what you want. The second step, of course, number two is believe it. And I think you really hit on something, reading through that, but just kind of this idea of mental acceptance and the idea of this belief that you need to have within the power within yourself and stuff. And he says, believe in the infinite goodness, also the infinite power of God in you. When you believe, you can achieve any and every goal you set for yourself. When you believe in yourself, you become unstoppable. And, you know, you think about that when people are telling, you know, some of these leaders in the past and stuff that this was impossible, you know, Wright brothers with flight and, you know, Ford with the car, you know, with his car and his process of manufacturing and, you know, many different things that were thought to be impossible. V8 engine was one thing that was thought to be impossible. You know, we take that for granted now. V8 is just, you know, such an integral part of cars now. Well, they don't use them that much anymore, but for a long time, the V8 was the pinnacle of the engine. So, you know, but people thought it was impossible. Ford pressed, you know, his engineers to do it, and they finally figured it out. You know, he wouldn't give up. And so, you know, but here's the other thing about decide that's interesting, you know, and this is where the kind of spiritual side of thing comes in. You also need to kind of weigh out your decision and decide based on what you believe is right too for the world, for yourself, for other people, and so on. So you want your decision that you're making to be in alignment with your spiritual and ethical beliefs. So that if, for example, you know, you really care about family and the environment and, you know, and community and so on, you don't want to make goals that are in opposition to those things. So think out what your decision is and your goal is and the effects that it will have on yourself, your family, your community, the environment, and so on, and make sure that's in alignment with your own ethical beliefs. You know, I think sometimes they forget to remind you of that in some of these things, and people just think, well, I want to have $1 billion and I want to be all powerful and fly around on jets all the time and do this and do that. And it's fine if that's your goal, but if also in yourself, you know, you're like, and I want to help protect the environment and I want to live, you know, a family life and I want to, you know, and I don't want to be bothered by people and I want to have a lot of free time, you know, something's got to give. So make sure that your decision is based in, you know, in reality, and it's based, and it's also based on your own ethical beliefs, and all those things are in alignment. So, you know, you can have what you want, but you definitely want to make sure what you want is worthwhile. What you're going
to. Great point.
Right?
Yeah. Well, so, you know, this chapter, you know, 4 steps to get what you want, but it seems like a large part of it, at least the first two, are mostly based on who are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what are your values? What's important to you? What are your desires? What do you want? What's your belief system?
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with manifesting a car or relationship or something like that.
Yeah.
It's involved in that manifestation.
Yeah.
Or that,
exactly.
You know, bringing that, but it's, you know, if you go to the, you know, website and say you order something on Amazon and you just click, and as long as your credit card works, it doesn't matter who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
You don't really have to question your beliefs. You can just get what you want if you have the funds.
Sure.
But this has more to do with maybe being
who you
are and who you want to be and who you believe yourself.
Yeah.
And see yourself as being so that you can do and have and be the things
exactly
that you want to have in your life.
Yeah.
But it's very much a self-exploration, a self-assessment, personal inventory.
Yep.
Question your values, your beliefs. What do I really want? That has more to do with who you are than what this thing is out there that you're trying to conjure up. So
sure, sure.
So it's a very deep.
It's a deep process. It's a philosophical process if you take it all the way. You know, and it's important. It's important to do that, you know, and I think that that's where people get stuck sometimes, because they'll make goals for themselves that really aren't in alignment with who they are. I mean, if you're an introverted person that likes to study a lot and, you know, likes your free time and, you know, likes to meditate and be left alone and, you know, spend time with books, and then your goal is to be, you know, a pro wrestler, or something like this, it's like there's things really aren't in alignment. You know what I'm saying? Or you want to be an MMA fighter or something like that. You know, those are kind of two different life paths. And so, you know, you got to make sure that the things, and this is one of those things where it's like, know thyself really comes into play. Right. And that old Greek saying that was above the temple at Delphi, I believe. And so know thyself it's like a huge thing, and you know, you really need to understand who you are, like your personality, but also who you are as a spiritual being, and is that in alignment, you know, with these goals that I'm making. So one is decide it, two is believe it, and then the third section is see it. And like you said, in some ways, these second two are quite a bit easier, because once you've decided and you believe in it and you can believe in yourself to do it, and you've got a clear picture, well, then seeing it and feeling it, which is the next steps, are quite a bit easier. And this is why he lays them out this way. And, you know, we talked a bit about this before we got on. And I almost feel like if you think about this, it's almost like painting a picture. You know, one is you decide what you're going to paint. Two, you believe that you have the skills to do it and believe that you can. And, you know, three, you visualize what the image is that you want to, you know, create on that canvas. And then four, the feel it is the kind of sensation and the doing and the emotional content while you're doing the work that, you know, is creating it and so on. And it's the sort of manifestation part of it. They're all interrelated, but you can almost kind of look at it in that way. It's almost like a like the blueprints for a house or something like that. You know, there's these kind of steps that are going on before the thing is actually coming into manifestation. So see it then, of course.
This is very familiar, you know, with visualization. Yeah,
sure.
Exactly. You have an image in your mind of you, you know, living in this house or going on vacation with this great partner you're in a relationship with, or a healthy state, a healed state. If you were not feeling healthy and you want that, that's your decision.
Yeah.
And if that is your decision, then decide health and don't spend a lot of time, even though the evidence compels you to not, you know, think you're not feeling well. You know, you have to be in your visualization, in your belief, and in this decision. You've decided health.
Yeah.
That even though the doctor says this, I decide health is what I want, and I believe it because I don't believe in the value of this sickness.
Yeah.
And see yourself healthy, even if you look in the mirror and you look terrible and you feel terrible. See yourself healthy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. See the end result. See the end result. And he goes, you know, and be real specific about it too. So if, for example, that, you know, you have a, let's say you got a lower back injury or something that you're trying to heal, and, you know, you really love to play golf, and, you know, the doctor's telling you, oh, you know, you're not going to be able to play golf anymore. You're gonna have to really take it easy and do this and that and stuff. And, you know, you don't believe that. You wanna play golf again, let's say, and you really do believe that you can overcome this injury, and so on. And, you know, you obviously you've got to work within the realms of your capabilities as things go on. But it is incredible what you can do if you open up your mind and you open up your heart and you open up your belief system to create new possibilities for some, being very specific. Like I said, like, so if there's something that really motivates you, like, man, I just, one day I want to be able to, you know, to play golf again, and you can see yourself doing that, and you can really, and you can feel it. You feel the breeze on your face and the, you know, the swing and the connection with the ball, and you just, you know, watch that ball sail out there, you know, towards the, you know, over the green and stuff, you know, you really get the visual and visceral experience of it and see everything. You know, your mind has your unconscious mind can't tell the difference between reality and really well imagined scenarios, which is why dreams are so powerful.
And it's also why if you're stopped at a stoplight and you don't have a horizon or much peripheral vision, and the car beside you moves mm-hmm. forward, it actually physiologically feels like you're moving backwards.
Oh yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You have a visceral reaction to something that actually didn't happen, but the visual cues told your mind that, or people in virtual reality on a roller mm-hmm. coaster getting mm-hmm. sick, they're not moving. They're not going anywhere. But visualization is so powerful.
It's so powerful. Exactly. Exactly. And then when it's combined with, you know, with like belief and faith, it's really pretty miraculous what you can accomplish with those things. And it's why you have to be so careful with your thinking and with your visualizing and your imagining, even if that, and I talk about this in my book, you know, if you can worry, you can meditate. Our minds run away with us so much, and they go down these crazy roads, and, you know, you've got to be very careful to channel them in, you know, channel your thoughts into a positive sort of a stream. Otherwise they'll take you into directions you don't want to go. And, you know, that's the thing about this visualization that's so, so powerful. So, excuse me, hang on one second here. Okay. I almost sneezed, but I did not. I will need to cut that out. All right. So
I won't bless you. Okay? Well, you're blessed anyway.
I'll be blessed anyway.
Sneeze or no sneeze, and blessings be to you.
Blessings be to me. So at any rate, at the end of this, he points out again, where there is no vision, the people perish. That's saying from Proverbs 29:18. So the see it part of it is the vision. You know, when people talk about visionaries and visionary experiences and visionary leaders and so on, it's this ability to envision the future that you want and visualize with great detail the goals that you have and the hopes that you have or the healings or the, you know, or the sobriety. You know, again, we say, you know, you can, you know, first things first. So if, you know, you really do, another thing of decision that's important is make sure you're deciding the important things first. You know, if you're in the middle of, drug addiction and alcohol addiction, and it's, you know, destroying your life and you're thinking in your mind, like, I really want to start a business right now. That's my dream. First things first, you know, take care of the issues that are going to keep you from that goal and build a strong foundation for yourself first. So that can kind of weigh out your decision too, is like, is this the best decision for me right here and right now to get me to this goal? In my mind, I have that goal still. I want to start a business, but the first thing I'm going to do is get sober, for example. You know, or the first thing I'm going to do is take some time to get an education and learn about business. And that can be done many, many ways, you know. So it doesn't mean you necessarily have to go back to school. There's online stuff. And, you know, most stuff is online now anyways in this COVID thing. So, so be creative with that. But make sure you're putting first things first. And so that can help your decision-making process too, is kind of just looking at your goal and breaking it down into steps. And, you know, still seeing the big picture, but taking each step at one step at a time. Okay, so see it. So now we're going to move on to feel it, which is step four. So decide it is number one. Number two is believe it. Number three is see it. And number four, the last one, is feel it. Feel it is an interesting one. I like this one. You want to talk a little bit about this? I'll let you start.
Well, yeah, the feeling part of it is, I think, something that gets overlooked in a lot of mind science or new thought. Or the secret, a lot of that seems to focus on belief and visualization. Mm-hmm. I have faith, I believe it, and I see it. And believing is seeing, seeing is believing. Okay, but this feeling really puts you in the moment. It puts you in the position of having that business or that new car or being in that relationship or experiencing that healed state. It's not an abstract thing. When you get into feeling, and remember at the beginning he was saying that, seeing is more for your mind and feeling is more for your heart. So you're working on other parts of your self, parts of your being, not just the mental. Now we're working in the emotional and really, you know, the deep core, feeling. And there's the sensational feeling, like it's a, you know, if you see something, it's kind of a visual thing, but feeling could be tactile. What does the steering wheel feel like on the new car? Or what does it feel like in your heart to be driving that car that you want out in the open road? Or if it's a healed state, it can't just be not sick. It has to be, I am healed and I'm out there playing golf. If that was, you know, like you were saying earlier, the example. Or you're able to, you know, walk up and down that flight of steps that you weren't able to before, or you can go to the park without your oxygen tank, or, you know, that there's some mobility or ability or freedom or joy that you can experience having accomplished this or achieved this or acquired this, whatever your, the decision desire is that you've decided upon. And what does that feel like? Okay, you're working with children and you're teaching and you're giving back to your community. What does that feel like? You know, there's a smile on somebody's, on a parent who wasn't able to, you know, maybe spend that much time or get their children to, you know, practice their ABCs or whatever it is. And then the joy, like, oh my gosh, thank you. This, you know, or wow, you know, the neighborhood cleanup thing. It just, it looks so much better now. I didn't know this empty lot on the corner could look so beautiful. I walk by it every day and I just, it's this ugly thing. And, you know, it goes beyond just getting the thing. This is having the thing and living that life that you now are. So it's different, and I think it's a much deeper one. I think the visualization is really important. Again, these are in order. Once you have that vision, then what does it feel like? playing out that vision.
Well, it's almost like, too, it sends a really important message to the unconscious because, you know, the feeling of excitement or happiness or whatever is something that, you know, generally accompanies the actual thing itself, you know, the acquisition of something or the reaching the goal or whatever. So you're kind of stimulating that part of the, you know, the nervous system or whatever, you know, the emotional sort of content that, you know, is part of that thing. Like, and, you know, we all can call up those experiences from our, you know, from our lives where we were excited about things when we, you know, or when we achieved a goal. And, you know, this is one of the big things that you do in NLP work. It's using, you know, using those emotions that you already have and then kind of anchoring these new goals and new visions to these emotions that you've already had. And so there's this sort of foregone conclusion in your unconscious mind. Well, of course this is going to happen because I feel the emotion. I feel the thing itself. I actually feel the, you know, when you imagine feeling physically or the sensations of the thing itself or doing that thing that you wish to achieve, you know, it sends very important, you know, messages to the unconscious. In achieving to help you achieve that. And so it's a super important part of you, right? And, you know, the fact that it's the fourth step, you know, it requires building to get to that stage because you do need to be clear, you know, you need to decide, you need to believe, and then you need to see, and then you can feel, and then you can really understand the emotional content of it, you know, even internally. You know what I mean? So there's definitely a logic, a really clear logic to the way that he's laid these steps out. So we encourage you to stick with the four steps. One more time, we'll go through it. So it's number one is decide it. Two is believe it. Three is see it. And four is feel it. And I will put these in the description, of course, in the podcast, and I'll put them up on the website as well at cosmiceye.org. So you can see that blog post. And I want to put up these affirmations as well. Do you want to go back and forth? We'll read these affirmations on the last page there on 185. These are really nice affirmations to use.
Okay. Yes, we will and can. Let me just finish the other part when you
do
those four. Mm-hmm. And he talks about this on, writes about this on 184. He says a lot of times people put the responsibility on somebody else for what you should do or how you're going to get it, or the belief, oh, I need somebody to believe in me, or always, you know, make the decision for me or something like that. He said the important lesson here is to remember that it is you, and the boldface, have to decide it. You have to believe. You have to see it and you have to feel it. So with that, we can read the affirmations, but he underscored that it is something, and it really isn't clear, or at least wasn't made clear at the beginning, but he underscores it here saying that you decide, you believe, you see, and you feel.
Yeah, that's a great point. It becomes very...
Well, then you're responsible for it and you own it.
Yep,
because it's you. It's your life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the doctor. It's not the, you know, university professor. It's not the parent. It's not the spouse.
Or
you
know, who's going to make these
decisions
office.
For yeah. you. Or is going to do the believing in yourself for you.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, now all these people can help and they can get in the way. It doesn't matter. The point is you decide, believe, see, and feel.
Absolutely. And, you know, and there's a boldness and a power in that too. And, you know, this is where one of these things where you take back that power and you stop giving it out to, this leadership's in office. And so I can't possibly do that. Or, oh, you know, these damn corporations do this and that. So how could I ever get this little business off the ground or whatever? Don't give your power away.
Yeah.
You know, take it back. You have to decide it. That's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up. And you have to believe it and, you know, you have to feel it and you have to do it. So own it. It's yours.
And that's why these affirmations are in first person.
Exactly. And so we'll jump right into those. We'll start with the first one and then you can do the next one. So right here and right now, I know exactly what I want.
I have decided it in my heart and in my mind.
I believe in the good which I desire.
I see and feel myself being what I want to be, doing what I want to do, and having what I want to have.
My positive thinking leads me to positive action, and I get positive results.
Thank you, God in me.
Thank you, God in me. I love the way he puts that. Thank you, God in me. And one last thing from Reverend Ike. You can't lose with the stuff I use. I love that saying. I always said that. You can't lose with the stuff I use, which means, you know, he did this stuff himself, and he was incredibly successful at what he did. And not only that, incredibly skilled as a preacher, just a really incredible speaker and very motivating individual. So, you know, and he used these principles himself in his own life. And that's why he would always say, you know, look, I don't, you know, you can't lose with the stuff I use. And it means that I use, because he used it. Yeah. And, you know, we use these same principles and the stuff that we're doing. And, you know, and so we're not trying to lead anyone anywhere. You know, we ourselves are not trying to go or are not, you know, with things we are not using. So, you know, with that in mind, keep those affirmations, you know, close at hand. Remember, decide it, believe it, see it, feel it, and you can get what you want. You really can build the life that you want. And, you know, this is more important than ever now, especially of time that we're in with these challenges. You know, this is a time for new ideas. This is a time for rebuilding and doing things in a different way. This is a time for, you know, crazy ideas that just might work and, you know, radical shifts in thinking and so on. So, you know, there's no better time than in the middle of challenges to do something worthwhile and something that you truly believe in, because you really don't have much to lose during those times. You know,
you have everything to gain.
You have everything to gain, you know? So, and that's another great affirmation, by the way. I have nothing to lose and everything to gain. That was a Napoleon Hill thing, by trying.
Okay.
Yeah, I have nothing to lose and everything to gain by trying.
And it's not too late. You could be at midlife or past midlife or deep into retirement and maybe have a lot of ups and downs and tried this and tried that. But then, you know, be that now. It's who you are with where you are and what you are now that is making these decisions and affirmations and beliefs and visualizations.
Amen. And, you know, because there's been delays or challenges or whatever, it means nothing. In terms of right now, you know, you have the ability to change your life right now. And in fact, it's like this may be the perfect timing, because you have learned the lessons you need to learn, and you have, you know, went through the challenges that you've went through, and you have had the setbacks that you've had and so on. You're wiser, you know, now and so on. But if you're young and you're, you know, you're still learning and, you know, you have big dreams, you know, that's the perfect time too. You're not too young. You're not too old, you know. You're just right. Now is the time. So we wish everybody the best out there. You know, make your dreams come true. We're praying for you, and we're sending out positive, you know, vibes out there to you to make your dreams come true. So thank you for joining us. We appreciate you showing up to the Cosmic Eye Show each week. We're here on Sunday and on Friday. Sunday we've got our kind of variety of different things we're speaking about. And then on Friday, we speak about Emmett Fox. So check that out if you haven't had a chance. I am your host, Jason Napolitano. My book is If You Can Worry, You Can Meditate. And Chris Sheridan is the author of The Spirit in the Sky. And those, of course, can be found on Amazon. And like I said, you can check out cosmiceye.org to find these affirmations. I'll also put them up in the description on the podcast. So you can see that on wherever you're listening, on iTunes or Podbean or whatever. Check out Chris's website, chrissheridan.com, and join us here each week. And if you'd like to donate, please donate at anchor.fm/cosmiceye. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week. Be safe out there. Goodbye and God bless.